Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are going to talk about some of the summer problems that we have, and we're going to talk about blocking. We're going to talk about a very, very common issue that happens to a lot of dogs after the July 4th holiday time. Well, what happens a lot of times is we take dogs to the fireworks and we take dogs all over. And listen, I take my dogs literally everywhere. Poor Wyatt has been in, I don't know, 30-something states already. We've got his awesome Wyatt stuffed animal that will be available. We're taking pre-orders for it. But listen, you know, we've all been somewhere and there's a loud noise and we get startled. We're going to talk today about blocking, about why dogs suddenly, who might have gone to all different kind of places, suddenly they get afraid of a place. They might be afraid of a noise. They might be afraid of a location. They might be afraid of a smell. They might be afraid of a man with a hat. They're all different kinds of fears that dogs can have. Unfortunately, we have to know what to do in that moment that that fear happens. So let's say you've got a puppy or you've got a slightly older dog, young adult dog under 15 months of age. Well, puppies go through and dogs go through fear phases. One of the most prominent ones, and it lasts a really long time, is the fear impact phase, which is from 4 to 8 months. And from 4 to 8 months of age, the dogs get, well, a little bit fearful. They get a little bit tentative with things. And it really depends on how we are going to handle that to see whether or not in that moment those dogs are going to get through that fear, or if that fear is going to cause like much deeper problems later on in life. So let's say for a minute we've got a dog, and it's a puppy, and it's a four-month-old puppy. So in that fear phase, the puppies will tend to be a little bit more tentative. They might kind of almost look like, you know, not maybe like they're not afraid, but that they're just not interested in something. What you want to make sure that you don't do is make sure that you don't start coddling the dog, petting the dog, and correcting the dog, you know, in a way of, you know, hey, oh, buddy, it's okay. Don't worry, it's okay, it's okay. Because you're telling the dog that it's okay to be afraid. You don't want to tell him it's okay to be afraid. It's not okay to be afraid. As a matter of fact, we don't want the dog to be afraid. So why would we reassure the dog and say, oh, it's okay to be afraid? Well, people, my clients always say, well, that's not what I mean. That might not be what you mean, but it's what the dog is taking from it. Remember, the dog's perception is what's true. So if the dog is perceiving something and you feel that, you know, the dog is being afraid of something, try to correct it without making it seem like that you're coddling or reinforcing the fear that that dog has. So let's say with July 4th fireworks, because a lot of people have been calling me and never fails, about a couple weeks before and a couple weeks after July 4th, people call, my dog had some really strange things. The 4th of July is coming up. He's afraid of loud noises. He's afraid of thunder. He's afraid of lightning. He's afraid of, you know, banging. He's afraid of garbage trucks. It's the same phobia. When you have a dog who has any kind of a noise phobia, sometimes you can desensitize them and decondition them. But a lot of times, it's not just the sound, especially with lightning and thunder. Lightning is a big electrical charge. And if you drive under, sometimes you can actually feel it, but you drive under high tension lines or you stand under them, the hair on the back of your neck and the hair on your arms will actually stand up a bit. Because that's electromagnetic force, and it causes magnetism. So sometimes some dogs can be very sensitive to that electrical impulse that they're feeling. Well, some dogs, it's not the electricity, some it's the barometric pressure of a thunderstorm, or the sound hitting their eardrums with, you know, like a sonic boom with an airplane, with some of these jets that fly, you know, faster than the speed of sound. And that's really, you know, a lot of different options and a lot of different things that could be causing the sound, you know, phobias. But the key is how you get through it. So it almost doesn't matter what the phobia is or what the issue is. What's really important is how you get your dog through it and past it. Now, obviously, like actually both of my clients early today, not so much my follow-up, but my two classes I did earlier today, both of them had sound phobias. And the one had had it from last July 4th, very, very intense. And the phobia had been getting worse and worse to where now there's a lot of construction near them. And the dog is just terrified. It won't even go out of the driveway sometimes because the dog is so afraid of what the noise is. Well, what they were doing, and they're lovely people, but they were doing what most people do. Oh, honey, it's okay. It's not going to hurt you. It's only construction. It's only whatever it is you're saying it's only. So well, the problem with that is if it's only lightning and you're saying, hey, it's only lightning, then, you know, you're saying that it's okay to be afraid of lightning. Well, heck, lightning, we don't want to, you know, be really close to lightning. So I think one of the main things is to understand why some of it is happening and then to understand how to fix it. So if there's a lightning storm, obviously you're not going to be able to repeat the action over and over again like we would do with construction because, heck, we don't want to die in a lightning storm. I was over in Jersey City just literally a couple days ago on Wednesday, and when I was there, there was that horrific, really horrific thunderstorm. I mean, it was bad. It was, like, off the charts bad. I mean, everybody knew that it had happened because it was just so, so intense. And for a moment, when the lightning was happening, I was actually near a building. And this adorable dog that I was with, he was inside, I was outside. And, I mean, I'm sure I jumped a good 6 feet up in the air. But, you know, he also, was very stressed. So I had told them what to make sure they do, which was, to not give in to the dog's fears, not have the dog be, be all upset about it, but just try to make it as normal as they could and try to have that situation get passed as quickly as possible. So lightning and thunder is tough because we don't want to be out in a lightning storm. We really don't. But if, let's say, instead it's fireworks or it's popping balloons or it's construction, you don't want to just remove the dog immediately and run from it because then psychologically the dog feels that you as the leader obviously aren't the leader because you're running from it. And you've got options. You can fight, flight, which is running, avoid, or submit. Well, you're not going to fight. You're not going to run. You're not going to flee. You should avoid and submit. Well, I'm never going to let my pack see me lose a fight. And I'm not going to say, oh, here, take me. I'm not going to hurt you, I'm going to put up a heck of a fight. Nobody wants to mess with somebody who doesn't want to be messed with. So we're going to talk in the next segment about the actual things you can do when your dog is blocking or when your dog is in that moment of fear or panic so that you can reassure the dog without making the dog so underconfident and saying, oh, baby, it's okay, it's okay. So you definitely want to stay tuned. I think this is going to be a really enjoyable time for everybody because it's going to help you to get your dogs through those what-if moments. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treats meat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Quick shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph and to all the wonderful people at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin Kids. We are just so thrilled to have our new class. We do have two or three openings still that we could, we've got some really amazing people that we'd like to add into the class. But those of you who follow every week, and we appreciate that, we would like to offer you, if you or someone you know that you think has some talent with dogs and isn't a trainer, they don't really, they haven't learned any of the, you know, sit, lie down, cookie, or shock collar things, but just people who love dogs and have a natural ability with dogs and love them and enjoy being around them and understand that, oh, wow, you know, it's probably not a good idea to, you know, scream and yell and throw cookies. Or, you know, to shock the dog, because, I mean, that's just wrong in so many ways. But if you know somebody, have them give us a call at United K9 Professionals with an S, .com, or our 800-855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K9-PROS. You can give us a call or you can fill out an application online. We are going to be starting a new class within the next couple of weeks, so we definitely want to make sure that anybody who is interested and has natural talent can get in on these great classes. It really is fun, and it's a really unique way of looking at dogs. We, of course, have our national convention, which we will be doing in November. We are going to have all these amazing speakers and all, and it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of learning going on. We're also accepting applications now for people who are interested in getting into the cancer detection or the in-school service dog program, which we take dogs who are trained on different levels of stress hormones, and the dogs will react appropriately and work with special needs kids. We can work in district schools. We can also work with special needs schools like we do with the inimitable ones that we work with here in New Jersey and around the country. The other portion of that is if you're looking or if you know someone who's looking to make a difference, to rehabilitate shelter dogs, turn them into service dogs, as we've been doing for 30-odd years through Merlin's Kids and my other companies since we're founded in 1988. That's a long time. I don't even want to admit that I lived in that part of the 20th century, but the 19-somethings were good years. A lot of great people were born in there. So if you are interested in becoming a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist, expert, or master, please contact us at 855-4-K9-PROS. Now, if you're interested in doing service dogs, or if you're interested in doing therapy dogs, or helping us to train other people in our unique techniques that are copywritten, trademarked, and if you're interested in doing all those things, then we want you to call us. You can also call us at 855-HI-WYATT. That's 855-HI-WYATT. 4855 It's 855-449-9288, and you can look that up at merlinskids.org. So anyone who's interested in learning how to prevent problems before they happen, those are the people we're interested in. And those are the best clients that we have as well. And it's funny because so many of our clients had turned into our natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists because they realized and they could see it, like, oh my gosh, my dog, you know, is completely different. And just today I had a golden retriever that was living in New Jersey, not too far from me. And he was dog aggressive. And when the kids would go into the pool, he would be barking and carrying on and out of control and couldn't get him to calm down. And he was really, he was aggressive, dragged people on the leash. And in about a half hour, and this was a follow-up, in about a half hour today, because the family had been doing what I taught them a couple of weeks ago, well, the dog laid by the side of the pool. Instead of when it would go there and start to bark because it was afraid that the children were in some kind of danger, it went over and laid under the table. And the husband came back from work early and saw, like, you know, everybody had a pool party there. There must have been six or seven little kids and then a bunch of parents. And they were going down the slide and screaming and splashing. And the husband looked at the dog, looked at the pool and the kids, looked back at the dog, looked back at the pool and kids, looked at me and said, did you give my dog some kind of tranquilizer? How'd you get him to do that? And his wife said, it was like 15 seconds. She corrected him a little bit, really gently, and just did this, 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 and this. And all of a sudden, the dog just went and laid down. And that's what happened. Because you have to understand, if a dog has fear, and if a dog thinks that it's got to provide for you, protect you from danger, then if the dog feels that, let's say, the dog that's on the other leash at the, you know, end of your driveway or at the other end of the dog park, if that dog feels, your dog feels that that dog is a threat to you or to the rest of the pack, he, if he's a good dog, may decide to react and say, hey, get away from my family. Same thing in the pool. The dog doesn't know that the children are supervised and know how to swim. All the dog remembers and thinks about is, oh no, these children I love are in the middle of a lake or an ocean and I have to get them out. And he barks and he's alerting the children, help, you need to get out of there. There's shark danger. You need to get out of there. Hello, hello, come out of there, come out of there. And that's basically what the dog is doing. The dog might have seen the movie Jaws too many times. He thinks there's danger and those kids are going to get eaten by a shark that's in that that's in their chlorinated swimming pool. So that's what dogs think. They think you're in danger. They don't understand that you're in a pool with a, you know, swimmies on and you've got a little life preserver and a little dragon-shaped noodle that's going to keep you from falling down to the bottom of the pool. Your dog sees that as a threat to you. And if you were, God forbid, drowning, you would want somebody like your dog to be outside the area of the drowning, screaming, help, help, get out of there, shark danger, or go get help, go call 911. You wouldn't want the dog or the person to go in the house and go, eh, you're fine. So that's really understanding why the dog is doing what the dog's doing. So if you're able to understand the reason why, then you can fix it. But if you don't understand why, you can't fix it. How can you fix it when you don't understand why something's happening? And this is one of the problems in marriages so often, because we don't understand what our spouse is thinking, and because people stop communicating, or they're speaking a different language, you know, man-ish, and, you know, women-ese. Well, you know, heck, I always joke that men and women are almost the same species, and we don't understand what is going on with one versus the other. So it's really important to understand and to think like a dog. Think, how does your dog perceive that situation? Well, in the case of fireworks, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, or any loud noises, he's going to, chances are, startle. And the startle reflex definitely is one that is difficult to get rid of, because you'd have to desensitize the dog to such a degree that he is just completely not going to react to it. But what we can do is to desensitize the dog until that reflex, that startle reflex, is no longer in a dangerous situation and creating problems for him. We're going to talk about how to reduce that and how to retrain your dog's brain to not being afraid of things in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're talking about noise phobias, and we're talking about how you can change and how you can make a difference in the lives of dogs and special needs kids and other people. It's amazing to see when you have a dog who changes from, you know, one who was, well, you know, phobic and frightened and wouldn't go out and wouldn't, really participate in life. We all know people like that who are kind of shut-ins, and they're healthy, they're fine, they just are afraid. And phobias are very, very tricky because I think a lot of people don't understand. You see a lot of people now trying to train PTSD dogs and emotional support animals and things like that, and they don't understand. It's not about, even if you do understand dogs pretty well, it's you have to understand the psychology behind why the person needs a dog. So to have a dog, whether it's your own dog or a rescue dog or a dog you purchased, if your dog has any kind of fear, which it's going to have at some point between 4 and 15 months, chances are there's going to be a phase called one of the fear phases, either the fear impact or flight instinct period. You have to understand how to get the dog through that period. You also have to understand very, very intimately and very intricately how the human brain functions. So if you have an issue with a dog and the dog is fearful, and at that moment when, let's say, you have, let's say, a veteran who was exposed to great amounts of gunfire and mortar fire, and now the person has a dog who's, let's say, something like a Sheltie or, kind of a more fearful dog that's more reactive, like Border Collie, Aussie, kind of things like that. Or sporting dogs are a little better because a lot of them are able to handle loud noises with the gunfire and so on. But imagine if you have a dog who's reactive to sound and you have, let's say, an adult who's very, or a child who's very reactive to sound. Not a great match. So how do you get the dog through that? Well, common sense would dictate, hey, just expose the dog to a lot of noise and eventually he'll get over it. But what you're forgetting is, and my trademarked word, situational and positional. Dogs are very situational. A dog will be fine with something in the house, and he will be a horror story when maybe he's outside at, in front of a house, somebody else's house, or in a store, or at the vet's office. We've all seen dogs who are just horrors at the vet, who get aggressive or who get very, very difficult. And the problem is that you always have to assume that the dog will default back. So that's one of the biggest things that I see as a problem is, you know, the more you wind up having dogs with behavioral issues, generally the more behavioral issues the humans had. So if a dog is afraid of something and we reassure him, honey, it's okay, it's only thunder, you're really telling him it's okay to be afraid of thunder. Now, like I said earlier, thunderstorms, lightning storms, you can't stay outside. So those are a little bit tougher, but we're going to work up to that. Now, let's start with the dog, let's say a Sheltie or a Border Collie or an Aussie or a herding type, you know, dog that's more hyper and high-strung. Yes, there are every individual, there are different individuals in each type of breed, each type of race, each type of group. There's always differences. There's variation. But there's also a norm, like a bell curve for everything. Now, if you have a dog who tends to be high-strung, and tends to be noise reactive. Yes, it's great to sit in your house and have a DVD of thunderstorms or of cannon fire on in your house. But if you take that dog outside, the trigger might be something that you're not thinking. Most people who do this kind of stuff don't understand, really, and a lot of trainers, unfortunately, really have no clue. You have to assume that the dog is going to default back to whatever it was when you started working with it. So let's say we have, let's say, a Border Collie. Border Collies are great. I've been working with three of them this week, two purebreds and a half, and they're all great dogs. However, they're all very visual. They look at things. They see things. They're very reactive. And now let's say with the fireworks, because everybody thinks, oh, it's the fireworks and it's the sound. Well, no, because if you're really close to fireworks when they go off, you're seeing also it's a visual thing as well. It's seeing the flash and then hearing the boom and seeing the flash. So you might be desensitizing the dog to something that it's not really necessary. The dog might not be afraid of the sound. He might be afraid of the shininess. So if you now look and you're walking and the dog isn't reacting, but when you go and it's a sunnier day out or, you know, the sun is shining in just a little area, or if you're one of those laser pointer people, who thinks it's funny to have your dog chase a laser pointer around for exercise and give him phobias, think a minute about how does the dog feel. Think like a dog. If the dog thinks that he's in charge and he thinks he's the leader, then it's his job to provide for you, for your needs, and to protect you from danger. So not only do we have a dog who's trying to protect himself, but we also have a dog who's trying to protect you. So he's trying to protect everybody. And that gives him a lot more stress because now, instead of his being able to just relax, your dog winds up having to protect you and everybody in your family and himself. And sometimes that's just an awful lot for a dog to have to think about. So imagine if you're walking and your dog has a noise phobia. And let's call the noise phobia, it's you know, the construction down the road. So we say, ooh, it could be from the saw, it could be from, you know, the sound of the nail gun. But it can also be the vibrations let out by the nail gun. The vibrations let out by the saw. Could be the vibrations of the drill. It could be anything. So it's desensitizing, but it's also desensitizing in real life. This is something I work on all the time with my good friend, Dr. Temple Grandin, because Temple and I will talk about, you know, how people, the average person will say, oh, yeah, well, my dog's afraid of thunderstorms. And they will assume it's from the thunder itself. It may be the barometric pressure. It may be the lightning that accompanies it. It may be that feeling of when you get nervous and you have butterflies in your stomach. It may be a feeling of electromagnetic energy, like living under a power line, like I said earlier. So you have to figure out why the dog is reacting the way it's reacting. So how do you do that? Well, let's say your dog is being afraid and you're really positive. Like you've thought about it, you've discussed it with people who know what they're doing. Maybe you've even spoken with one of our amazing people at United Canine Professionals. And you say, well, you know, I'm sure my dog is just noise sensitive. Well, what most people will do is then play that noise tape or do something like that and have it happen in their home. Well, I always say, like the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. So the main thing is, first, don't create problems situationally by making it happen in your home. Because now your dog may wind up being afraid to come in the door. I just had that with a client where they were doing something that the dog had a phobia. They started introducing the dog in the house to the thing that it was phobic over, and now the dog won't go into the living room, or the dog won't go into the kitchen, or it won't go out the back door, and they have to make it go out the front door and walk all the way around the house to the, you know, to avoid the staircase. Because the dog, they tried to drag it down a staircase, or some trainer said, let's drag it down the staircase, and of course that didn't work, so now we have a dog who's phobic about the staircase. So first, think. Don't just act or react. Think. Why is it happening? Why is the dog doing what it's doing? And do I want that phobia that that dog has to continue on into my living room? So if you have a tape of fireworks or you have a tape of babies crying, do it in different areas. Do it in cars. You know, do it in, you know, and not in your car necessarily, but in other cars, to try to get the dog used to it without causing more harm than good. We are going to be right back with some more amazing things that you all can do to help your dogs to be the best dogs in the world. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, as promised, we're going to be talking about noise and phobias today. One of the main things we want you to understand is don't keep reinforcing the fear. If you were afraid of flying in an airplane and, you know, of course you're not going to go, you know, I'm going to fly to Australia first. It's a 23-hour flight. I'm going to go there. And, yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm just going to fly to Australia my first day. No, you're not. You're going to go first. You're going to go look at airplanes. You're going to see the airplanes. You're going to go near them. Then you might have a day where you get drive into the parking lot of an airport. And then you might be working a little bit, and you're in the airport, and now you go towards the gate, and now you see the planes sitting there not doing anything. And now you get a little closer. And then the next time you get a little closer. And you keep getting closer until you're on the airplane. The door opens so you can walk on and off the airplane, remembering, if you don't change something, nothing's going to change. That's a definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So why are you doing the same thing? Why, if you read a book on obedience, and, you know, if you're going to read a book that talks all about what somebody is and who their grandfather is, or, you know, how they came over from Britain and threw cookies at dogs and became afraid of dogs, whatever you're doing, whatever authority you're using, make sure it makes sense to you. And remember that behavioral issues have to be handled in the brain. Obedience is fun. Can you change a behavioral issue with obedience? No. Because you can change what the dog does. If the dog is, let's say the dog is feeling anxious, can you make him stop chewing on the wood? Yeah, you can put stuff on the wood and you can drug him up. Or you can try to give him a cookie. But if he's still in that fearful state of mind or that dominant state of mind, and you're giving him a treat or you're getting angry at him, which is the worst thing in the world, you're not changing his behavior. You're changing his body position. And I've said this for 15 years. You're not changing behavior. Obedience is a great, fun thing. Wyatt's brother Dillinger is, I believe now, the number one Ridgeback in the country in obedience. And he's an amazing dog, but he's a great dog. He's a really super stable, confident dog, and he's just a sweetheart. So obviously with him, with Dillinger, he's such a good dog. You could do anything with him. But let's say Dillinger had been dog aggressive, which obviously none of my dogs are, but let's say he had been. Well, all you would be doing is you'd be doing this great obedience with him, but how can you use it? Because he's got to compete with other dogs, and he's got to be social near other dogs. So obviously, if your dog has some kind of a behavioral issue, you can't do the rally obedience or regular obedience, or you can't do lure coursing, you can't do herding, you can't do all those fun things because your dog is too reactive. So if I want to go and I want my dog to, let's say, do obedience, I'm not saying obedience is bad. It's not bad. It's a lot of fun. I have rally obedience titles on three of my dogs. I really don't know how I got them because all I did was follow the little sign that said serpentine or figure eight or have your dog sit for 5 seconds or whatever. And I don't say a word to my dogs. If I stop, they sit. If I stop for a few seconds, they lay down. If I move, they move. Just today at our class with the dog aggressive dog, I had the dog off leash. My dog off-leash, Bubble, and I had Bubble off-leash, and I had this golden retriever who was very aggressive previously, and Bubble went up to him, and he snapped at her, and she was trying to play with him, and he was just being a jerk, but within like 30 seconds, because I corrected him, and then I corrected her, even though she didn't do anything wrong, so that they both knew, uh-oh, there's a playground monitor, there's a supervisor here, I can't just do what I want to do. And then it was perfect from that point on. But you have to understand that you have to think in your dog's language. If you think in English and you think like a human, you're never going to understand what your dog is asking and what your dog's telling you. He already knows this. He's a dog. Dogs get it. So, for instance, if there is a loud noise, let's say there's a garbage truck there or there are garbage cans someone's putting out, and you see they're bringing a lot of heavy metal garbage trucks or garbage, you know, cans or dumpsters, go near there and try to go back and forth past it. So you don't want to just go there and like, oh my gosh, and run from it. Because if you're running, then that means fight, flight, you're fleeing. Avoid is better. Submit is no good. The best thing to do if you see something or the dog hears something is to continue on just a moment. Loop yourself around. Don't continue to go straight. And don't run backwards, but make a loop like a hairpin. Don't stop and pivot. Instead, walk. Keep going for a couple of steps, 5-10 steps, and then you may go back the other direction or 90 degree turn. The key is not to let the dog feel your energy running away and not to let him feel that you're being unstable. So if you see a dog down the road, don't go, uh-oh, oh no, there's a dog coming. That's when you should put the gentle leader on and go towards him and go, hey, let's go, look, there's another dog. Go towards the light, go towards the danger with your dog as long as it's not obviously an aggressive dog. You know, have common sense about it. But, you know, really the main thing is for everybody to understand that if you're not in charge, then somebody has to be in charge. And that somebody just may be your dog. So we've got to remember to think like a dog, to do what dogs do to make them feel more stable and more confident that we are in charge and that we are taking care of them. If they feel that they're taking care of us, we're going to have bites, we're going to have stress, we're going to have anxiety, we're not going to have a fun dog, we're not going to have a confident dog, we're going to have problems. So it's so important for everybody to understand that it's about not about what the dog is doing, but it's about how we are handling those moments. If you're afraid, and I patted you on the back, and it's like, oh, it's okay, Joey. It's okay, Jim. You know, don't be afraid of that. It's okay. It's only, you know, powdered sugar falling off a cannoli. Don't worry, it's not snowing. Whatever kind of crazy thing it is, just think about it as, oh, it's not a big deal, it's only this. But don't say that to your dog, because the more you talk, the more excitement that creates. We don't want to create more excitement, because that can lead eventually to aggression or to more dominant behaviors, and we don't need to make more dominant behaviors. So when your dog is afraid, you're going to walk back and forth, not just once, not just twice, but several times, 5, 6, 10, whatever you want to do, until the dog no longer reacts, and start a little farther away, and then work your way closer. Start 20 feet away from the thing or the animal that it's, you know, trying to go after or that it's afraid of, and keep, then make it 18 feet, then maybe 17 feet, then 16 feet, then 15 feet, then 14 feet. And you'll see each time you break a boundary and you decrease the circle, the dimensions of the circle, the circumference, each time you do that, the dog is going to feel like, oh, okay, and little by little, I'm losing my domain. And it's great. We want our dogs to have the best. We want our dogs to live a really, really long time. But it, even more important is making sure the time they have here is used efficiently, and that you're actually going to make sure that that dog is, you know, is emotionally stable, behaviorally stable, not just physically stable. So, for instance, if, let's say you're out there and there's a dog, if you can talk to the family or the person walking the dog and say, hey, you know, I'm working with a behaviorist, and, you know, United Canine Professionals came, and they're doing an amazing job. My dog is already so much better. But we need to have crash test dummies, so I need to have somebody, if you could just walk your dog back and forth, or if I can walk my dog back and forth, and let them help you. You'll be surprised how many people would kill to help you. They would love to help you, but they don't know that you need help. So if they don't know, then how are you going to get help? That's what we're going to talk about in the last segment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And we are talking about phobias. Well, one of the main things is that phobias are reinforced. They, you know, everybody starts out and says, oh, my God, my dog's never done that. If I hear one more person say that, I'm going to laugh myself silly. They say, he's never bitten anyone. This is the first time. And I always joke. I say, well, you know, husbands don't cheat until they cheat. You know, husbands are faithful until they cheat. You know, children don't take drugs until they take drugs. Dogs aren't aggressive until they're aggressive. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about, oh my God, he's never done that before. We don't think you're a rotten owner. We don't hate you. We just know that you need help, and just get help. And if you have that obnoxious person who's control your dog, I'd look at them and say, control your brat. I'm telling you, I've had more times where I've had my good dogs outside where my dogs do not bark, and my neighbors screaming kids, I have to go in the house. I actually put a cute thing, those of you who are Facebook friends with me, you know, I have a lot of people who laugh themselves silly at this video. It's couple of my service dogs in training who are playing, and while they're playing, all you don't hear a dog making a noise, and then all of a sudden you hear screaming and crying and just bellowing at the top of their outdoor voice lungs, kids screaming, and my dogs are like playing quietly, and you see these screaming kids, and you hear them, and it's really funny. Because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times what ends up happening is when the dog barks or the dog does something, we grab the dog, we take it away, and we just go, oh, my God, I've got to get away from that. I don't want to create a problem. Oh, I can't believe my dog did that. I'm so embarrassed. Everyone in the neighborhood's going to hate me. No, they're not going to hate you. But that's where it's handy if you have one of our people from United Canine Professionals. We have behaviorists covering 37 states and 7 countries. So, you know, the main thing is that we're able to, at some point, work with everybody in the whole country, in the whole world, to teach everyone how to fix the behavioral issues that their dogs have. Another thing I do want to caution people about, sometimes people will talk and they'll say, oh, yeah, I sent my German Shepherd to that place. It was a great training place. Did a great job. Or, oh, I sent my Rottweiler. I sent my Cane Corso there. He came back great. But you have to remember that not just like every child isn't the same, every adult isn't the same, every dog isn't the same. So if you have a dog who's more of a dominant breed, a Rottie, a Pit, a Dobie, a Cane Corso, you know, some of the Mastiffs, Wyatt just touched my leg and said to remind you Ridgebacks because he thinks they're pretty tough. I don't, but we'll say, okay, Ridgebacks, Wyatt. But if you have a tougher dog, and you're sending it to a trainer who does police training, which basically is Schutzhund, which is basically ask them what they do if the dog misbehaves or bites the wrong person. You'll see. It's not nice. They helicopter them or they do all kinds of things that I don't want to tell you. Not everyone, but nearly everyone. Or they use shock collars. Oh, we use electronic training collars. No, you have a shock collar. Can I put that on your private part and you hand me the remote control for it, and let's see how much it doesn't hurt. Let's see. Because it's wrong to do that, because you're making your dog more fearful. So if you have a Rottie, a Shepherd, or something that's more of a dominant aggressive or dominant dog, and you do police training, I can understand how that can help, because you're overpowering and you're just blasting the dog. You're being kind of cruel, I think. You're very cruel. But you're basically dealing with a dominant temperament. So that's kind of like two guys in a bar where one guy pushes the other guy, and then the other guy pushes the guy back, and they get into a brawl. One guy wins, the other guy loses, and then the guy who lost is like, okay, man, you're like, you got me, you beat me, I'm not going to mess with you. But if you think like a dog for a minute, if you have, you know, a dog who's, let's say, a little bit fearful and or dominant, and now the dog feels that it's in charge, it may not make very good decisions. And if they're not making good decisions, then that's when a leader should take over. Either you or somebody in your home, and everybody in your home for that matter, can be the leader. So the first thing is, when you have a problem with a dog on a leash, and make sure that you have a gentle leader properly fitted, and you can walk back and forth and back and forth. You don't ever have to let them get nose to nose unless you feel comfortable with that. But the key is, you've got to teach the dog that you are in charge. So those of you who are like, oh, I don't want to make him in charge. I don't want it. You know, let him, you know, be my boss. But like, I don't know how to do it. Yeah, you do. Just be the boss. Just take charge. If you were a single parent, you would figure out quickly how to feed and bathe and make money and do all that, because you have to take care of someone. So why would you want your dog to be doing that job of providing and protecting and caring for us when we can care for him? And then when the time they don't have any kind of issues and they're not phobic about things, then you can take them out for a great long walk. You can take them out for a ride. You can do what I do. I have literally as many dogs as I have. They're all sitting by the back door waiting, or most of them anyway, waiting to see who gets to go. And it's like a lottery. It's like you're waiting for a raffle ticket. Lisa K. Carr, you're going to love this one. So if you want to win a raffle and you want to learn how to win that, you can't keep your ticket out. You got to put your ticket in. You got to be in it to win it, right? So let's say that, you know, you're working and you're, you know, you've got this great dog and he's like literally the best dog in the world. And all of a sudden he starts barking uncontrollably at another dog. Ask the family who has the other dog and say, hey, you know, I was just wondering if you could help me. You know, we have a behaviorist and, you know, she's told us or he's told us, you know, all these things we need to change so that we can make things go better. And then if you're able to do that and if you're actually able to teach the dog through your actions and walking through him, learning the spaces respect rule and all those different rules that we have in our company in United Canine Professionals, eventually that dog, if you walk back and forth with that person holding his or her dog, you will eventually get that dog to just be like licking, yawning, and panting and just going like in doggy language, oh my gosh, I'm so done. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like being the boss. And that's when you can take over. But somebody has to be it. And if you're a very, very soft temperament and you have a harder, temperament dog, you are going to have to step up to the plate. Your dog did not come to you and ask to live with you. Your dog came to you because you saw him across the crowded room. You saw him on Pet Finder. You saw him somewhere, and that's why you wanted him. And you probably went by looks because most people still fall in love using their eyes. So if you're able to take your dog, repeat the action over and over again. Don't look at your dog. Don't stare at your dog. Just walk. Go back and forth until there's no reaction anymore. Then the next part you're going to do is you're going to walk in an elongated circle, same direction, so that the dog start getting used to other people going ahead and going behind. Kind of like we're in a gigantic turnstile or something where we have to walk through and it stops you like a toll booth, and it stops you if you have any issues or if you don't pay your toll. So I hope everybody's understanding what we need to do. It's really not that hard. It's really important, though, that you do try to keep consistent. Don't start trying to do something at home. If you're having good luck, keep doing that. Call me or call whoever it is who from United Canine Professionals has helped you. And for those of you who are in New Jersey, we're going to be in Jersey City this weekend. So for those of my wonderful clients, if you'd like to meet in Jersey City, text message me, or you can call 855-HI-WYATT or Facebook private message me. And I will be happy to bring you on our training session. We will have a blast. Well, we've got no time left, but I wish you a wonderful, happy, healthy weekend. Enjoy yourself. Be safe. And don't forget, think like a dog. Have a great night.